Psalm 106. Psalm 106, verse 24. Yea, they despised the pleasant land, they believed not his word, but murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands. Say, when God's angry with a nation, he punishes the people with their children. They joined themselves also unto Baal Peor and ate the sacrifice of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague brake in upon them. That's AIDS and all that other stuff. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, so the plague was stayed. And that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. That is, they made the preacher so mad, he lost his temper and done everything but cuss. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. They shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Cana, and the land was polluted with blood. Do the same thing in America today. We just offer them to different gods. We offer them to gods of rock and roll and hip-hop, drugs, sex, and rock and roll. But the end result is the same. The devil gets the young people. Thus were they defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath, the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. And he gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they hated them that ruled over them. Let's pray. Father, help us now this evening. Give us power and wisdom. We ask for liberty to preach. Lord, we pray especially tonight for clearness of thought, clearness of expression. May the seriousness and the gravity of the message impact our heart and our mind, our intellect, as well as our emotion. I pray, oh God, that we see the grave danger that faces the United States of America, in particular, faces our children and the generation coming up now. We pray that you do that we might move and work and do all that we can to turn this generation and this group of young people to God. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I got to thinking about this just the other day. I'm sure most of y'all listen to the news or read the paper or get your info from the internet or someplace. But I'm sure most of you are aware that a group of young teenage girls made a pact together to get pregnant. They all wanted to get knocked up. Just insane. Just any old boy. They weren't worried about marriage or fidelity or propriety or any of those things. The consequences, the feeding and the care for and the maintenance of those babies for the next 18, 25 years never entered their mind. The potential for disease and never entered their mind. It just seemed like a cool thing to do. And so they made a pact together, and they went out and took on all the boys in the neighborhood trying to get knocked up. I thought, if that's not an earmark of insanity, I don't know what is. How have we raised a generation of young people whose minds are so ill affected? Who have so little judgment, so little discretion, so little common sense, so little concern about the rest of their life. They're just living for the right now. I mean, they live in the present with no thought whatsoever of consequence or future. Just insane. Wife and I went to lunch today. We ended up in a Pizza Hut. Lord, I don't know what the world's coming to. We went one place that we liked to go, and they had such a long line. It was so hot, we decided not to stay. And then we went someplace else, and they had a long line. And we went someplace else, and it was noisy. My wife said, "You want to go someplace?" I said, "No, I'm staying right here. I'm eating right here." But there was a group in there. It must have been 15, 18 people in that group. And honest to goodness, I'm not exaggerating. You couldn't hear yourself thinking there. It was so unbelievably loud. Trying to talk over each other and screaming at each other and the kids playing and nobody's restraining them. Now, this is a public restaurant. They're just making more noise than you can imagine. No consideration, no thought for any other patron in the place. I looked over and their plates were all empty and it was obvious they were about through. So I said, "Well, we can tough it out for a couple minutes." And sure enough, they all packed up and left. Right behind them was another table with 18 or 20. And by the way, this first group was all black. This second group's all white. They're having a birthday party in the Pizza Hut Sunday afternoon at lunchtime. And they're passing out presents. And when the little kid, and he's so little, he doesn't have a clue what he's doing. He's just ripping the paper off, taking the thing out of the box, throwing it down and grabbing the next box. And all the adults are over there making pictures, and they're going, "Ooh, ooh, ooh," you know, and in a public restaurant at lunchtime. I'm a customer too. And I'm not interested in your birthday party, and I'm not interested in your little rug rat. Take your little crumb crunching, curtain climbing monster and take him home. You want to give him a party? Okay, buy him a pizza, take him home. And make all the noise you want to. But not at lunchtime in a public restaurant full of people. Just asinine. So who was doing it? You can't blame the kids. Matter of fact, most of the kids that had a TV over in the corner, most of the kids in the group were watching the TV. They were being quiet. All the ruckus, all the uproar was coming from the parents. They ain't got walking around since. Now, you may have heard a week or so ago, or a couple weeks ago, I guess now, they had the graduations and all up here in Charlotte and Gastonia and all around. And some of them got arrested. And everybody's in an uproar saying that they infringe on these people's rights. Well, now, I'd like to take the opposite side of that. They got 400 students. They're going to walk up on that platform with their cap and gown on, take their right hand and shake somebody's hand, and with their left hand receive their diploma, turn their little thingy around or whatever it is they do these days, and they'll read their name, and if they graduated with honors or whatever, if they lettered in sports, they mention that. Every kid gets about a minute and a half. You want to apply a minute and a half times 400. You're looking at about a 5.5-6 hour thing here. If we just keep a steady flow, if we don't slow down, if we don't stop, if we don't tarry, you're still looking at all afternoon to get 400 students across there. Amen? Now, every mom and daddy wants to see his or her little boy or little girl or grandkid or whatever it is get their diploma and graduate. What are they doing? You got whole sections back there that have brought their whole family with little things you blow and things you throw in the air and chants and all kind of stuff. And when their little monster walks up on there to receive his or her diploma, they stand up and start cheering and raising, and they carry on for 5 minutes. They disrupt everybody else. If they bring another student on it, that mom and daddy don't get to hear their child's name read because this little group over here is showing their butt. But everybody thinks they have the right to do that. I thought, you know, what they ought to do is they ought to let everybody do that. Take as much time as you want. Take 5 minutes, take 10 minutes. And we'll graduate all 400 of these folks, and we'll be here at 1 a.m. And everybody would be whining and crying about, oh, graduation took 9 hours last year. Yes, because of morons just like you, because you ain't got the sense God gave a brass monkey. Somebody say amen. So I'm saying our world's insane. We're nuts. A couple of years ago down in Paddock, Kentucky, a young boy took a gun and killed 3 people. He was a high school student. In Pearl, Mississippi, a 16-year-old kid takes a gun and kills 2 people. In Jonesboro, Arkansas, a 13-year-old and an 11-year-old opened fire in a schoolhouse. They killed a bunch of the teachers and some of their classmates. Over in Oregon, a 15-year-old killed 4 and wounds 20 after killing his mom and dad. Just crazy. Insane. 3 sixth graders got caught planning to open fire on a school on the last day of school. They made their plans, bought their guns, had it all worked out, and when the class dismissed on the last day of school, they was going to open fire and shoot everybody. How in the world we raise generations so insane? How can your little mind of mush get that whacked out in 12, 13, 14, 15 years? But it ought to take a lifetime to get that screwed up. Amen? But here they are, 6th graders, 13, 14, 15-year-old girls. And they're just nutty as a fruitcake. And when you talk to people, it's evident that their mom and dad's as big a fruitcake as they are. They're insane. They're absolutely insane. There's a story about a young teenage boy. He was depressed over his girlfriend. Sticks his head in a plastic bag, takes a tie wrap, puts it around it and seals it off, and lays there till he dies. Killed himself with a plastic bag over a girlfriend when he's 14. In the first place, he ought not have a girlfriend 14. Amen. Ain't nobody on this planet wise enough, smart enough, mature enough to have a boyfriend, girlfriend when they're 13, 14 years old. They just don't exist. You say, well, Bob, make all excuses. I don't care what you do, but I'm here to tell you, they ain't old enough, they're not mature enough. Amen? When you're 13 and 14, you ought to be having secret crushes and giggling with your little girlfriends behind the thing at school about, oh, so-and-so's so cute. I think, oh, so-and-so looked at me this afternoon. You ought to still be a youngin'. We got a whole nation of young people, 12, 13, 14 years old, that are going to dances and formals and going steady. And this girl's off limit to all the other boys because she's got a steady boyfriend and she's already 12 years old. Just insane, insane. Now who's insane? The kids are insane. Mamas and daddies are insane. Amen. Now I didn't do all that ranting and raving just for the fun of it. All those things are symptomatic of a problem. When you have as many things wrong in a society as we have, when whole sections of our society are so ill-equipped to live, to make rational decisions, to act in a mature and rational way, it's symptomatic that there's something wrong with our culture. We're missing something. We're missing something. Now, the question is, we've got to find out what it is. And it's going to take me 45 minutes to show it to you. What's the problem? Well, the first step in solving a problem is you have to analyze the problem. You have to assess the problem. You have to find out what it is that's going wrong that causes all the heartache. Then you have to find out why it's going wrong. Then you have to determine exactly what element in society is doing all the damage. Okay? And so there's some things. You have to do some investigating. You have to think about it. You have to look up the data. You have to analyze it and figure out, we got this problem. It's caused by this group of people. Why is this group such a problem? So you have to ask yourself a number of questions. What what can cause this kind of a problem? What can motivate this group of people to behave in this particular manner? If you're a sociologist, those are the things you have to look at.
Like, why do little black balls come off of little black balls?
So, here's the question. Here's some of the questions that society asks. Now, I would never have asked these questions. These are not my questions. I think these are stupid questions. I don't think they reflect reality at all. But here are the things that the psychologists and the psychiatrists and the sociologists, they look at these things. They ask these questions to determine what's wrong with this giant slice of society. Question number one. Is the problem with the violence and the rebellion in the young people, is it because there is too easy an access to guns? Are all these teenage boys going down and slaughtering everybody at the schoolhouse or at McDonald's or wherever it is? The problem is we made it too easy to get a hold of guns. Now that's a stupid question. I got a house full of them. I've had a house full of them. I never shot nobody in my life. I am prepared to break in my house and watch me shoot you. Amen. But so far I never have, and I have no desire to. But I know this. If I took every gun in the country, didn't miss a single one, if I took all the guns from the cops and the military, if we destroyed every firearm in America, it wouldn't make a dime's worth of difference. If I weren't you dead, you'd still be dead. When I was 7, 8 years old, I knew how to make 7 different kinds of zip guns. I can make bows and arrows since I was 8, 9 years old. I can always get me a club and beat you to death. Push you in front of a car. If I wanted you dead, I guarantee I don't need a gun to get the job done. I can find a way. Amen. I could give Brother Tommy $10 and he'd do it. They say the problem is too easy in access to fire. You're out of your mind. That's not the problem. Amen. Never been the problem. Not even part of the problem. Amen. Then they ask, what's the problem? Part of the problem. It must be too much drugs, sex, and rock and roll. That's the problem. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hate to say this, but sex, drugs, and rock and roll have been around as long as people have been around. Now, they may have had a different name for it, but they did the same thing. Amen. The Bible said there's nothing new under the sun. And every generation may have its little terminology and this, that, and the other, but the bottom line is they go out to have fun and boys and girls get together. That's the bottom line. Amen. I'm here to tell you, if you put boys and girls together, the same thing will happen every single time. I don't care if it's 500 years ago or 5,000 years ago. Amen? And I don't care if it's Harry the baboon banging her over the head with a club or a feller taking her to a bar and giving her 4 or 5 drinks and a nice dinner. The end result's always the same. That's just the way boys and girls are. People say, well, I don't worry about my son. I don't worry about my daughter. We've raised them right. They're good kids. You're stupid. You're just absolutely insane. The Bible said we are of them that have no confidence in the flesh. Got that? Say why? Because the flesh is corruptible. The flesh is weak. And people say, well, I trust my daughter. I don't trust my daughter. I didn't trust your daughter. Amen? I trust them as long as I can see them. I never believed nothing they said I couldn't verify. Some of y'all, well, I just can't do that. Well, go ahead. Pay the consequence down the road too, son. Amen. Now, so it's not too much drugs and rock and roll. Every generation's had their outlet and their way to vent and their way to do all the things that people do. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. The problem with young people today is there is just too much violence on TV. Actually, I think this is an improvement. Say, why is that? Well, because used to violence was in real life. Man, when I was growing up, it was tough. Can you imagine the violence they must have endured 4,000 or 5,000 years ago? You ever read the Bible? You ever notice how people were afraid to go from city to city and nobody wanted to be outside when the sun went down? Pay attention to that stuff when you read your Bible. It wasn't safe outside. It was a scary place to live. In the old days, might was right. If you had the power, you were the big shot. If you had the power, if you had the muscle, you could do what you wanted to. Amen. Now we got a whole generation of little old wimpy boys and little old wimpy girls that ain't got the courage or the backbone to do any of that stuff. The only violence they know anything about is what they see in them video games. Amen. Y'all not having fun. I can see already I've lost you. Somebody said, they're going, preacher's on another one of them Denton things tonight. Another one of them tirades. I come to church to hear about the love of God. Well, come on Sunday morning. Too much violence on TV. Now, I grant you, there's a lot of gratuitous violence in movies and television. But don't go knock all the movies with the violence in it when you let your kids running around with one of them game things in his hand. Now, buddy, you want to see gratuitous violence. You want to see blood, guts, and mayhem. Just buy some of them video games. The more violent it is, the more bloody it is, the more popular it is. Amen? But most kids that play them games don't run out and massacre their school. Amen? So I really don't think that violence on TV is the root problem. Now, all these things are bad. I'm not condoning any of them. Please don't misunderstand. I'm against easy access to guns for kids. I think if you got one, you ought to keep it locked up and, you know, be responsible. I believe that. I'm not much on the sex, drug, and rock and roll. I think you ought to be mature and all that before you fall in love and start doing adult things. I think you ought to be an adult. I think children doing adult things is stupid. But that's not the reason for the dilemma we're in. That's not why we have the problem with young people that we have. Those are just symptoms. Now, here's what they say. Well, part of the problem with young people today is negligent parents. That one probably comes as close to being true as any of them. Most parents have given up on trying to raise their kids. The kids back talk, and the kids threaten, and the kids cuss and fuss with mom and dad. And so mom and dad just cave in. They capitulate. And then after that, the kid comes and goes as he pleases and does what he pleases. Because mama, and especially daddy, ain't got the guts. There's some other words I'd like to use right there, but they don't have the guts to just backhand that little sucker right out the front door. Amen. My wife was talking to me this afternoon. She complained about this lady she knows whose kids run over. They tell her what she can do and what she can't do. I thought it would be a cold day in a warm place, son. That is still my house, and I raise them little suckers. And when my kids start telling me what to do and when to do and what I can spend my money on and this, that, and the other, you'll know that I am so far gone they might as well go ahead and bury me because I got no resistance left. But until that day, somebody say amen right there. Now, parents have just kind of give up on their kids. Well, you know, preacher, when they get to a certain age, there just ain't nothing you can do with them. Now, you know, after they get to a certain age, you can't make them do this and you can't make them do that. Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you this. Now, I know nobody here does that. When I preach these messages, I am perfectly aware that I'm never preaching to anybody in my presence. Amen. But let me ask you this. Them youngins, what was I going to say about them? Anybody remember what I was talking about? And y'all can't handle them. Not y'all. They can't handle them. That's the day they move out. Amen. Oh, preacher, I just can't do that. Then be a slave, be a servant to your own children. I ain't going to be. I'm not going to be. The day they can't go by my rules, they quit eating my food. The day they can't go by my rules, they can't be home when I tell them. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, in your house, your children should have no expectation of privacy. I have the right to come in and go through all your drawers and all your possessions and read your diary and check your notebook and your PC and your iPod and anything else you've got. Amen. Amen? But if you don't want me to see it, it better not be there. I have a right to check up and see what kind of music you're listening to. Amen. You're my youngin' and I'm responsible. You answer to me. If you don't want me to find it, don't do it. Amen. You eat here, you live here, I pay your medical expenses, I put you through school, you're dependent on me for your livelihood and your sustenance and all that, and bless God, you go by my rules. You understand? This is my house. You don't like it that way, I suggest you move out and start one of your own. I just couldn't do that. I talked to a fella, well, actually I talked to his wife, and she said, oh, Bob, we just can't do that. For the children's sake. I thought, you're not doing them kids any favors. You're not doing them kids any favors. Just letting them get away with murder. Letting them come and go and do whatever they want to. That's just, it's a cop out. Well, it is. You'd have to stand up and be a man. You'd have to stand up and be a woman. And they're not going to do it, so they let the kids run over them. I'd as soon not have a house as not to be the head of the house. Anyway. Negligent parents. Some of the educators and all of it said the problem with young people today is a lack of education and counseling. Now I just be honest, that just plain makes me mad. See why? Because we got more educational facilities. We spend more money on education today than we have in the entire history of the world. We pay them sorry, good for nothing, public school teachers. So, they're trained professionals. They go and get a degree and they have to pass and get a teaching certificate and they're professionals and they train our children. If you can read, thank a teacher. If your mind's corrupted and you're a left-wing, radical, socialist, narrow-minded, intolerant bigot, thank a teacher. They all belong to the NAA. They're all a bunch of socialist, left-wing reprobates. Amen, amen. Public education is a joke. Half of what they turn out are functional illiterates. Now there's a handful that go there and manage to get an education, but they're the oddballs. The vast majority just go down there to play and get a passing grade and go to the next grade. And when they get through, do you have any idea how much money this country spends every year in remedial education for college students? Not remedial education because your sixth grader got behind. These are folks that got their degree from the local high school last year and they can't read and write well enough to get into the local college. And they have to go and take remedial classes to be able to pass the entrance exam to Winthrop, which is not exactly MIT or Harvard. Lack of education and counseling. Well, good night. We got counseling for everything. They have full-time. Used to, you had teachers and principals at school. Now you got teachers, principals, nurses, policemen, and counselors. Full time. Got to have a counselor on hand every day, all day, every week of the day, or every day of the week. Why? Well, because if some guy in the senior class gets killed in a car wreck in a school with 2,500 students, they got to bring in the counselors to help the children deal with their grief and their loss. And to find some sense of closure. And them little third and fourth graders was really tore up about that. Now, they never met the fella, but they did see his picture on the TV, and he looked like a nice guy. But they got counselors down there for and they'll say, the counselors will be on hand for another week. Nuts. Do you understand that nothing I've said here, everything I've said has some element of truth in it, but nothing I've mentioned is the source of the problem. All these things deal with the mess we're in, not how we got in the mess. Here's a good one. I like this one. This is a cop-out from a bunch of befuddled parents and befuddled educators. I mean, you got to put a lot of thought to get this one. After looking at all the chaos of young people these days, and the fact that, used to we got married when we was 15, 16, and now they're 22 to 25, 27, and they're still not mature enough to get married. The conclusion by all the educators and learned people is this. Well, kids are just different today. Kids aren't like they used to be. Really? I remember being a boy, and I watch these young men today. I don't see a whole lot of difference between us. Other than back then we had parental constraint, and today we have parents out of the picture. But other than that, the things these boys want to do today, that's exactly the same things I wanted to do. And we used to sneak off and smoke, sneak off and drink, sneak off and play with the girls. You tell me the kids today are doing something else? They still party it. Girls are still the number one attraction to boys. Second place is drinking. It's epidemic on colleges. They have a list of colleges which are the best colleges in the world to party at. All you need is a bunch of pretty girls, young and dumb, and a lot of alcohol, and then throw in a little dope and, just get you a big old bowl and fill it up with all that junk and just take a handful and hit yourself. And man, that's a great life. Need education and counseling is the problem. It's not a lack of education. It's not a lack of counseling. Kids are just different. Kids are the same today as they've always been. Children have always done whatever they can get away with. Every generation, give them an inch, watch them take a foot. Give them a foot, watch them take a mile. Every generation, young people, as far back as time goes, none of them have ever done anything you didn't make them do. I was talking to my daughter a while back about some things, and I said, you have to make them. She said, well, I told them. I know for sure all her life, her whole life, she had heard me say over and over and over again, children only do what you make them do. If you don't plant your foot square in the middle of their back and push, they ain't going to do it. They're like water. They take the path of least resistance. Well, I told them, well, what did you make them do? These are the excuses the learned people give. And of course, then they cite bad examples by adults. There might be some validity in that, but every tub's got to stand on its own bottom. That's an old Texas saying. So, well, preacher, and I could go on and on. What really is the problem? If all these are symptoms of the problem, what is the problem? I'll tell you what the problem is. We took God out. That's the problem. If, in a nutshell, if you wanted to reduce it to its lowest common denominator, if you want to concentrate it and get all the garbage out of the way and just have the juice left, the problem is no God. Now, there's three places we got rid of God that caused the problem. Three places. Number one, we took God out of school. When I went to school as a boy, and buddy, I went to a lot of schools. I went to seven schools in the first grade. Anybody got more than that? Okay, I get the prize. I get the blue ribbon this week. Man, I changed schools. I've been to schools. I can't remember who the teachers were, the principals, or anything about it. I wasn't there long enough. You change schools seven times in 180 days, you didn't spend too much time in any of them. It's a wonder I got any education at all. But when I was in them schools, now I grant you a lot of them was little country schools, you know, out in the boondocks and stuff. up around Shelby and Rutherfordton and Spindale and Far City and up in through there, you know. That's where we live. Ellenburg and Bessemer City and all around that, you know, we moved all around that. I probably lived in every one of them towns two or three times. Them little old country schools, but we start out every day, we'd read the Bible. I mean, you go to school and they say the Pledge of Allegiance. We'd have to stand up, put our hand over our heart, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Amen. And they had the Ten Commandments on the wall. I know that's blasphemy. But they had them, I mean, right there in the schoolhouse in front of God and everybody, they had the Ten Commandments. And we get ready to go to lunch, and that little old teacher, ignorant hillbilly that she was, would bow her head and she'd pray for everybody's lunch. Ain't no wonder the nation went to hell. I mean, how can you have high treason like that, mixing God and religion? But they used to teach us this is right and that's wrong. Amen? I remember when school teachers used to have to sign a thing on their contract. It was called a morals clause. They could, if they got caught shacking up or something, or being immoral, if she got pregnant or whatever, she's fired. She's through. Amen? And when you went to school, I don't care what them little old roughneck kids looked like, every one of them teachers had on a dress. Every one of them. And buddy, when that teacher come in the room, you may have been goofing off and playing around, but boy, when that old battle axe, I mean, when that sweet thing come in the room, you calmed right down and put your butt in that chair because you knew she would light you up. I had a couple, I think that's the only reason they came. They liked doing that. Now, if you hit one of them, son, you headed for court. You heard about that? It was a school bus driver, 20 years. School bus driver, perfect record. And some little old kid was doing something, and she took him by the shoulders like this. Didn't shake him, didn't hit him, just put her hands on him and told him to stop it. They fired her. That's just last week. Man, when I went to school, if you got in trouble at school, you was in trouble at home. If I got a spanking at school, and I had a couple, I got another one when I got home. You do that today, and I'm telling you the honest truth, that mama and daddy and grandma and grandpa would absolutely, I'm telling you right now, ain't nobody going to whoop my youngin' but me. No, what you mean is, ain't nobody going to whoop your youngin'. Then you can't control a little hellion. To God out of schoolhouse. We don't want the Bible on the school grounds. No prayer in school. No Ten Commandments. You know, they used to teach us in civics. You all know what civics are? I used to be a class we taught in school. It teaches you how to be a good citizen. Some of the precepts that they taught in the civic class came right out of a Bible. They used to teach us respect for mom and dad. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. When adults were talking, kids kept their mouths shut. You go places nowadays, and you're trying to talk, and you can't talk to somebody because the kids keep butting in and pulling on mama. Mama, 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 mama. Shit, son, I'm trying to talk. Mama, mama. Why don't you just light that little sucker backside up? I heard Billy Graham one time talking about he was going to visit a fella, and the little old boy kept coming in and interrupting, and his daddy was saying, "Now, son, do this. I'm trying to talk to Mr. Graham, blah, blah, blah." Finally, Billy Graham said, "Son, go out that front door or I'm going to whip your butt." That little kid got all terrified looking and took off out the front door. And Billy Graham said, "If I'd been that boy's daddy," the little boy slammed the door. He said, "If that had been my boy," he said, I'd have him in the door slamming business in about 3 minutes. Good for you, Billy. Good for you, buddy. I could preach on this forever because I just get rabid. Problem number one that's contributed to the mess that we're in with the young people in this country is we took God out of the schoolhouse. And buddy, they need God in the schoolhouse. Daniel Webster once said, now listen to this, it's very profound. Some of them old boys had some, they had a clearness of thought that you just don't see today. Daniel Webster said, to educate a man in mind and not in morals is to create a menace to society. I read that and I thought, whoa, I wish I'd have said that. That's good. To educate a person in mind, but not in morality, is to create a menace to society. That's the gospel truth. That's the absolute divine truth. We need to put God back in school. Number two, we not only took God out of school, we took God out of home. Listen, when the average independent, fundamental, premillennial, Bible-believing, King James only, Christ-exalting, sin-hating and Baptist, those blood-washed saints of God, those that are born again, quickened by Spirit, sealed under the day of redemption and all that stuff, when they don't have family devotions, when they don't read and when they don't pray, when there's none of God's music in a house, there's none of God's art in a house, there's no talk of God in the house, in the average Christian family, what in the world do you think's going on out there in all those unsaved homes? You could not begin to imagine what some households are like, how some people live. It just stagger your mind. We took God out of the home. Average home anymore, mom and daddy are divorced and remarried at least once, sometimes two, three times, if they bother to get married at all anymore. Well, why get married? It's only sex. I mean, no big deal, right? Yeah, it is a big deal. It's a big deal for a number of reasons. One of them being because God said it was wrong. If you couldn't find any other reason, that one would do. Because there are a lot of other reasons. So we took God out of the home. We don't talk about Him. We don't sing about Him. We don't read about Him. If you ask the average Christian, I'm talking about saved folks now, if you went into the average Christian home and ask them how much time they spent reading Christian material, you'd be shocked. Say, why? Because they don't read it at all. I'm not going to do it, but I bet if I could hold up, I could name six publications that are Christian publications that every Christian in the country ought to get and look at and read and thumb through and read when you go to the bathroom, that kind of stuff. And I bet you there ain't two, three people in this whole church that even know who they are or what they are, much less take them or read them. I don't know why every Christian home, every woman doesn't have a copy of Christian Womanhood in her house every month. That little magazine is designed to help you be the best Christian wife you can be. Little old thing, doesn't cost hardly nothing, and it's got all kind of little articles on there on how to be a good wife, be a good mother, be a good Christian, how to be a lady. There ain't nothing in there but helpful stuff. You think Christian women take that thing and read it? No. They got Ladies' Home Journal and Cosmopolitan and a lot of that other filth. Amen? How many Christians you know that every month they get their copy of the Sword of the Lord? They've been printing it for 60 years down in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. It's a little newspaper, comes with all kind of little sermons in it, little helpful hints, little poems. It's got a page in there that deals with current issues and this, that, and the other. It tells about revivals and camp meetings and Bible college. It's just a great little Christian newspaper. Help you find out what's going on. How many of y'all take any kind of literature from the Christian Law Association, Dr. David Gibbs? One great American that works every day of his life to help you maintain your religious liberty. And there's a whole host more of little magazines and pamphlets. You don't find them in the average. I go in people's homes. Now, I'm a professional. I'm trained to do this. You know, but when I go someplace, I pay attention to what I'm looking at. If I come to your house, I don't do it consciously anymore. I've been doing it for so long, I do it subconsciously. When I come in your house, I not only look to see if it's clean. I'm sorry, You ever go someplace you just don't want to sit down? But when I drive up your driveway, I look to see what's in your yard. I look to see what's in your garage. You know, garage door's open. How much money does that guy spend on tools and junk? Has he got a camper, a motorcycle, a boat, tractor? You know, I mean, I see what's in your yard. I go in your house, I look and see what price range your furniture's in. Is it old and threadbare? Is it new? Have you just spent a bunch of God's money buying new junk to go in your house? I like to see what kind of taste people have. Is it provincial? Is it modern? Is it colonial? Do you like oak or cherry? It don't take but a second to learn to look. I mean, you see all that stuff in a second of time. Amen? But you know what I really like to look at? I like to look at your DVD collection. I see what kind of trash you're putting in your head. I like to look at the books. You know, they got a book rack laying around someplace, or a basket full of books. We got a basket full of catalogs. We got three baskets full of catalogs. Some of them are 4 or 5 years old, sissy. She got a thing about catalogs. She's really got a thing. She pulls them out. She keeps them under the end tables. And she pulls them out so she can get stuff out of them. And she never pushes them back. I'm constantly pushing them baskets back under the table. Just there. I like to see what's in there. What kind of books and magazines do you read? Tells me a lot about what's going on. If I see what you're watching, and I see what you're reading, I know a lot about what makes you tick. Now, I know y'all don't do all that when you go someplace because you're not a highly trained professional like I am. But see, what's the problem? No God in school and no God at home. That's 2/3 of the problem. You say, well, what's the other third? Glad you asked me. No God at church. I listened to that moron Joel Osteen this morning for 30 minutes, and he never mentioned God or Christ or a Bible or live right or confess or nothing. That guy spent 30 minutes selling prosperity and feel goodism. Amen. Reject those negative thoughts. Say no to those negative thoughts. When they march through your mind, say no, 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 no to those negative thoughts. Wait until there's a positive thought and latch on to that one. <laughs> 30,000 people sitting there watching that moron. Just demon-possessed reprobate. No, there ain't no God in his message. And I get plumb mad watching. I watch him every week. Sunday morning, get ready to come to church so he gets me steamed up. Because for 30 minutes, he runs around with all that psychobabble, feel-good religion, prosperity theology, and then I'm talking about 20 seconds. I mean, time it. 20 seconds. He said, now, we never like to close the program without giving you an opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior. If you just bow your head and say, Lord, I repent of my sins. Forgive me. Let me come into my heart in Jesus' name. Amen. 20 seconds and he's through. That's all the Jesus there is in Joel Osteen. You go to the average church, there ain't much more God than that in the church. They've got programs. They've got praise and worship teams. They've got contemporary music. Everybody thinks the pastor's a nice fellow. Their church is a fun place to go. I know you're not going to like this and probably won't understand some of it, but church never was intended as a fun place to go. Church is supposed to be a serious place to go. Church is about God and righteousness and eternity. Sin. Church is about getting the sin out of our lives. Church is about being conformed to His image. Church is about godliness. Church is about character and integrity. Church is about pleasing God. Church is about glorifying and exalting, lifting up Jesus Christ and God the Father. This is not supposed to be a fun place to go. It's supposed to be a pleasant place to go. Church ought to be easy on your mind. There ought to be a peace and a tranquility here. There ought to be a quietness of spirit here. But it's not about fun and game. This ain't about having choreographers come in and help our praise and worship team learn how to kick up the legs. You want that, man? You need to watch the Bobby Jones Gospel Hour. Man, y'all should have seen that this morning. They had three of them great big old black girls. I'm telling you, that's true, man. They had these three black girls singing. Of course, it's on the Black Entertainment Network. If you know where it's at, you know where it is. But they got on them dresses that the bottoms are like this, you know. They're longer on one side than the other, and they got little things that hang down. It's like somebody tried to cut it, and they just went like that. And they had them things on, them big old girls and them big old hips, you know, them, and them dresses down to their knobby knees. And they out there belting it out, boy. And I mean, it was a boogaloo. And I mean, no one was doing like this. I thought, she'd been to the chiropractor this week or something. I thought, oh, man, I'll give out. They know God in that show either. You know what the song was that they were singing? That's why I mentioned them. It was hilarious. It said, I got a grip and I ain't letting go. I got a grip on Jesus and I ain't letting go. Well, listen, sweetheart, God got a grip on me and He ain't letting go. See what He said? I'm saying in most church services, there ain't no God. There's no Bible. The Bible's not popular. The Bible condemns. The Bible restricts. And so people want to throw the Bible out because they just want fun. The Bible said, and in the last days, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, saying, prophesy unto us smooth things. People don't want the truth. And so the preachers are happy to oblige. They're just nice guys and everybody loves them and church is a lot of fun. Now, nobody gets saved and nobody's life gets changed and everybody's children's going to hell in a handbasket and the country's falling right behind. But, boy, we're having a great time at church. I want this one to change somebody. I want it to keep you so aggravated that you are never content with who you are or where you're at in your spiritual life. I don't want anybody in this church to ever get complacent. Now, I want you to know I love you, I pray for you, I do anything in the world to help you. But if you think I'm going to back off, or Brother Lewis is going to back off, and just have a good time and enjoy the good life, you're out of your ever-loving mind. I don't want to be the same Christian a year from now I am tonight. And God knows I don't want you to be the same kind of Christian a year from now you are today. It's about pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's acknowledging I have not yet attained, so I press. Church is supposed to help mold me and make me and change me into the image of His dear Son. What we need in America, we need to put God back in the schoolhouse, we need to put God back in the house, and we need to put God back in the church house. What we need is some Bible-centered, Bible preaching that condemns sin, condemns wrong living, and praises and glorifies God, and get off this nonsense about making everybody feel good and patting people on the back and praising people. That's not what it's about. And that won't change our country, and it won't save our children. What our children need to see is some mamas and daddies that have got God all over them. And they need God everywhere they turn around. They need God in that schoolhouse. They need God down at church. And they need God at home. And then you got about a 10% chance of them making it. And if you don't have them three things going for them, they don't stand any chance. People want to know what's wrong with the world today. What's wrong with young people today? It's real simple. No God. No God. Say, well, boy, I wish our country would get back to some common sense. I wish we'd get our values back. You're not going to get them back till you get them back to the Bible with its value. You're not going to get back to any values or standards. You're not going to get back to sanity in America until you get back to the God that gave us this country. Well, it's not that bad yet. Well, it's getting that way. It's getting that way. You know what? I talk to folks a lot and try to, and you point out some of the things that are going on, and every time you do, some dummy will say, well, preacher, I know there's a lot of truth in what you're saying, but, you know, I know a couple of kids and they're not too bad. Everybody knows just enough kids that are turned out okay to deceive them into thinking that there's nothing really that bad wrong. Why don't you go down to the local schoolhouse, the local jailhouse, the local army recruiter, and check them out? Go down to the jailhouse and see. Go down and see what we're graduating. Do you know why the kids do so well on them tests they take at school? Those things that show that they've obtained their grade level? Because they spend 2 or 3 weeks before that test pumping them for it. They teach them how to, I'm not making that up. Go down and ask them. They spend a couple of 3 weeks going over certain material, refreshing them, and saying, here's what's going to be on the test. This is how this is done. And then when they take that test, they make good scores. And then when they graduate, they're still dummies. Our country's in a lot of trouble. Our children are in more trouble yet. And the biggest reason for all of it is God's people have forgotten God. The Bible said they have forgotten me days on end. We go to church. We say we're saved, but we don't practice Christian living. We don't have it in our home, we don't have it in our church, and we don't have it in our schools. There ain't nothing left. Now, let me ask you this. Do you honestly believe that children who are brought up with no God in the home, no God at church, and no God at school will find God in society? Not going to happen. If you don't have God at school, God at home, God in the church, when they're out with their peers, when they're in contemporary society, there ain't going to be no God in it. That's why they shoot their teachers. That's why they make pacts to get pregnant. That's why they open up on their classmates. That's why they stick their head in plastic bags. No God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your...